Hey there, welcome to the Monday edition of Following the Truth. My name is Gary Zimek. I'm going to be here for the next 30 minutes, and I certainly hope you could stick around for the program today. We will be discussing on today's show the Holy Spirit as we head into Pentecost Sunday. It's a week from yesterday, so we're going to talk about the power of the Holy Spirit. You know me, I've talked about the Holy Spirit on the program before. It is absolutely impossible to live as a disciple of Jesus Christ without the help of the Holy Spirit. We just can't do it. And for years, I did not understand the purpose of the Holy Spirit. I just didn't get the Holy Spirit. And in the first reading from today's Mass, now this is the Mass for Monday of the seventh week of Easter. This is May the 25th, the first reading. This just hit me today when I heard this, and I thought, I need to talk about this. The statement that we have never even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. Does that sound familiar? And you may have heard about the Holy Spirit, but do you sometimes get confused about the Spirit, this mysterious fire or dove or wind? What in the world does the Holy Spirit do, and how does he fit in to my relationship with Jesus? Don't I have Jesus? Isn't Jesus enough? Well, you know, as you've been hearing, and I'm getting ahead of myself because I get excited when I start talking about this, but as you've been hearing in recent days, Jesus is stating, I am ascending to my Father, and I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. So in effect, Jesus is saying, no, I am not enough, because you also need my Spirit. This is not just a matter of us imitating Jesus and trying to follow him and do what he did. Because as Fulton Sheen has said, if that was the case, we would all have to become the sons of carpenters, because that's what Jesus did. But more importantly, we need the Spirit of Jesus living in us so that we can know what to do each day of our lives as different situations make themselves known to us. That's the function of the Holy Spirit. So look at this reading today from the Acts of the Apostles, and I'll chat a little bit about the importance of the Holy Spirit and how you can activate the Spirit in your life. And it is possible for the Spirit to be dormant in our lives. That's the way it was for me for many years. You got to activate the Holy Spirit. You got to stir him up, stir him into flame, if you will, to quote Scripture. So we're going to discuss that on today's program. I would be wrong to not mention the fact that today in the United States we celebrate Memorial Day, which is the day devoted to the memory of those who gave their lives for this country through their service in the armed services. So today we want to remember the souls of those people and celebrate their lives for what they did for us. We have our freedom because of those individuals, whether they did it voluntarily or whether they were drafted. They served. They served us, and as a result, we're free. So let's remember them today. It's easy to get caught up into the happy Memorial Day mentality of the cookouts, and it's not as easy this year because things are a little different, but still, we don't want to forget these people. So today, we remember those souls who were lost in the service of our country on this Memorial Day. All right, let's see if I have anything else. Yeah, before I pray, I just want to thank you for your support of my work, for the fact that you show up day after day, for your prayers, for your encouraging emails, for your donations to my full-time ministry. You're the reason I'm here, and I'm grateful. I am glad to be able to do this every day, to be able to share the good news of Jesus Christ with you on Following the Truth. It's such a blessing to be able to do this. You know, I took several years off from this program, and it is great to be back with you. I get excited when I do the show. I get excited. I come alive when I talk about Jesus. Believe me, I have down days, too, when things just are starting to drag. I'm in one of those funks right now as we continue 2+ months of this quarantine. It's tough, and it takes its toll when you can't go to Mass. But God willing, I plan to go back to daily Mass tomorrow. Our diocese, I live in New Jersey, Diocese of Trenton, they recently gave the go-ahead to resume parking lot masses, outdoor masses. My parish is doing that, so for the first time, I'm going to try it out tomorrow. I'll let you know how I make out. But, you know, these are weird times, no doubt. Things are different, and it takes some getting used to. And it's work to find the Lord in the midst of this pandemic. It really is. I struggle with it, too, but he's there. I assure you he's there. We just got to look for him. a little bit harder. And hopefully I can bring that about in some way. I can draw you closer to our Lord Jesus Christ through the help of the Holy Spirit and lead you to God, your Heavenly Father. That's my goal in this program. Hopefully I do that. Hopefully I'll do that on today's program. So thank you for your support. Thank you for your donations. Please, if you haven't done so, sign up for my daily email reflection, Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled. It's free of charge. It will arrive in your inbox every day at about 12 noon Eastern time. That's at least when I've been doing it for the time being. It's a brief Bible verse, a reflection, and just a reminder of how we can get the Lord involved in our lives, how he can walk with us and restore our hope when we start to feel a little hopeless. Generally, that happens when you lose sight of his presence. That's when we begin to get hopeless. So my goal is to try to restore that, to remind you that he's with you. He's walking with you. You might not always feel him, but he is there. So please sign up by going to followingthetruth.com. All you need to do is supply your email address. You can also give your name. That's optional, though. There is no charge. You can unsubscribe at any time. I'm not going to spam you or anything. You're going to get one email every day from me. Let not your heart be troubled. Trying to help you to experience peace, give you some joy in your life through Jesus Christ. All right, so you do that. Let your friends know about that as well, and I would be very grateful for your support there. It is time now for us to pray. So let's do as I always tell you. Let's pause for a minute. Let's remember we are in the presence of our Heavenly Father, the creator of the entire universe. We are in the presence of Jesus Christ, his Son, our Lord, our Savior, who died on the cross for us and rose from the dead, so that you and me, we could live forever in heaven. That's who's with us as well. And the Holy Spirit, the love between the Father and the Son. That's what the Holy Spirit is. This Spirit is the very Spirit that Jesus was filled with. The Spirit that dwells inside of us is the Spirit that enabled Jesus to think, speak, and act as he did. He gave us his Spirit. I mean, pretty amazing, right? So Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are with us, as well as all of the angels and saints. So we are really in good company right now. Even if you think you're alone, you're not alone right now. So let's turn to them and say, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Father in heaven, we thank you. We thank you for bringing us to this point in time. You've given us a new day. We are still alive, Father. The only reason that is happening is because of you. So we're thankful for that. We're thankful for all of the gifts you give us. Our house, our clothes, a car if we have a car, the ability to see, hear, speak, if we have those gifts. Not everybody has them, but if we have them, we thank you for them. Father, we thank you for the ability to be able to speak with you. We thank you for adopting us as your sons and daughters. We thank you for creating the entire universe for us to enjoy. You created all things for our enjoyment and to draw us closer to you. Father, we thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus. We ask you, Father, to completely eradicate the coronavirus, restore life to the way it used to be, with the exception of us. We want to be changed. We don't want to take anything for granted anymore. We pray for a return to the sacraments. We pray for the ability to once again gather with our family members, to not be afraid to touch people, to not be afraid to hug someone. Father, we know you can fix that. We ask you to do so. We ask you to heal anyone who is suffering from the coronavirus in any way, physically, spiritually, emotionally, financially. Pray for their complete healing, Father. We pray for all of the souls whose lives were lost in serving our country, the United States. We pray, Father, for those who are homeless today, those who are homebound, those who are living in prisons or currently in hospitals. We pray for those who are suffering from religious persecution around the world. Here in the U.S., we have freedom of religion. Not every country has that. So, Father, we're grateful for what we have, but we ask you to help your gospel message spread in those areas in which Christianity is restricted. Please protect those who are doing your work. Help those who are imprisoned or persecuted for their faith. and allow many more souls to come to know you in those lands where it's dangerous to be a Christian. Father, I ask you to use me as your instrument today. Give me the words, give me the message, and allow me to speak your message with conviction and with strength. Father, we ask you to open our minds and our hearts to be receptive to your message. And Father, we ask you for a complete and fresh and brand new outpouring of your Spirit. Awaken the Spirit in me and everyone listening to this program so that we can hear and respond to your message. In Jesus' mighty name we pray, amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. I could go on forever and ever, as you probably have surmised, but we got a show to do. I thank you for listening. This is Following the Truth. My name is Gary Zimek. You can find out more about my work by going to my website, followingthetruth.com. Just want to remind you that in October, I do have a new book coming out from Ave Maria Press. The name of the book is Let Go of Anger and Stress, Be Transformed by the Fruits of the Spirit. It's all about the Holy Spirit, and the book focuses on the fruits of the Holy Spirit as detailed through St. Paul's writing. So you'll hear more about that book as we go forward. Right now, you can pre-order it from either Amazon or Ave Maria Press. You can pre-order the book, but again, it comes out in October, so I'm going to be talking more about it as the date draws near. But since we're only a few days away from Pentecost, anchoring off of the first reading from today's Daily Mass, I thought it would be a good time to talk about the Holy Spirit, the Acts of the Apostles, which is what we have been reading throughout the Easter season. Now, the Easter season draws to a close on Sunday, on Pentecost Sunday. But as we go throughout the Easter season, the first reading has always been from the Acts of the Apostles. And the Acts of the Apostles is a great book because it's sometimes referred to as the Gospel of the Holy Spirit. Traditionally, the book was written by St. Luke, the evangelist, who also wrote a gospel under his name. But the Acts of the Apostles gives us a glimpse into the early Christian church. And it's a great insight, provides a great insight for us as to what the Holy Spirit can do. You know, a lot of times we downplay the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit becomes vague and wishy-washy, and it's understandable. You know why? Because the Spirit's a spirit. It's hard to understand a spirit. The Spirit is represented as water or fire or wind or a dove or breath. You know, it's really hard to look at the Holy Spirit when the Holy Spirit is described in those terms and view the Holy Spirit as a real person. I mean, I'm not used to talking to wind or doves or water or fire. So that's why it's so difficult. But look, let's look at this reading today. And I want you to see the importance of getting to know the Holy Spirit and what happens when you don't know the Holy Spirit, as I didn't for so many years. So we're going to look at Acts of the Apostles, chapter 19, verses 1 through 8. While Apollos was in Corinth, Paul traveled through the interior of the country and down to Ephesus, where he found some disciples. Now, so what Paul's doing is spreading the message of Christianity. He is known as the apostle to the Gentiles. He was God's chosen instrument to spread the gospel to the Gentile people, and that's what he's doing. He traveled to Ephesus, where he found some disciples, some followers of Christ. That's what you and me are. We're Christians. We're disciples. We are followers of Christ. And Paul said to them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you became believers?" And they answered him, and I love this answer, "We have never even heard that there is a Holy Spirit." Isn't that amazing? And I put that out to you, and I say, for many of us, we've heard of the Holy Spirit. I mean, if you're a Christian, you have heard of the Holy Spirit. You probably know, if you're Catholic, you probably know that there is some connection between the sacrament of confirmation and the Holy Spirit. We typically associate the Holy Spirit with confirmation, which is valid. But what, as a Catholic, you may not know, and this is what we believe as Catholic Christians, is that when we are baptized, we first receive the Holy Spirit. So we don't first receive the Spirit at confirmation. We receive the Spirit of God, or of Jesus, the Holy Spirit, at baptism. And then at confirmation, that Holy Spirit is strengthened, and we get the power to go out and to evangelize or to be an adult Christian. We're like an adult, we're a grown-up Christian at that point, and we're strengthened to become, we used to be called soldiers of Christ. That term isn't used anymore, but literally we're given the power, the strength that we need to do what the early Christians did and that we read about in the Acts of the Apostles, is go out into a somewhat challenging world, I want to say a world that is hostile to Christianity, not like they faced in the early church, but again, as in my prayer today, I highlighted the fact that it's in many countries around the world, you'll get locked up for being a Christian. You will get persecuted, and often, believe it or not, that persecution occurs at the hands of family members. When people convert to Christianity in many countries, their families are the ones that physically, violently persecute them. I know that's really crazy, but it's true. It happens. You do a little research and you'll find out how much persecution really does go on in the world today. But the Holy Spirit can empower us to go out there. And in spite of the opposition that we may receive, whether it's verbal abuse, whether it's laughter or ridicule, or physical violence, the Holy Spirit enables us to go out and share the good news. But the Holy Spirit doesn't always become active. Unless we give the Spirit permission, then the Holy Spirit kind of lies dormant in our lives. And I've witnessed this in my life, maybe you have as well. But it's interesting to hear these disciples telling Paul, we never even heard that there's a Holy Spirit. So I like Paul's response, well, how were you baptized? And they replied, with the baptism of John. Paul then goes on to explain what how John the Baptist baptized. Now, it was not a sacrament. The sacrament of baptism was instituted by Christ. So when John baptized, prior to our Lord beginning his public ministry, his followers, the followers of John the Baptist, did not receive a sacramental baptism. They didn't get the Holy Spirit. It was a baptism of repentance. Well, let's see what Paul says. Paul then said, John baptized with the baptism of repentance, telling the people to believe in the one who was to come after him. That is in Jesus. So really, John is known as the precursor. He was the guy that called attention to, hey, the big guy's coming, the Savior of the world, the Messiah, he's coming. I'm not him. And what happened was John's purpose, kind of sad in a way, but really it's a tribute to the humility of John the Baptist. John's function was just to call attention to the fact that the Messiah was coming. Ultimately, John's goal or John's mission was to lose all of his disciples to Jesus. Because once Jesus came on the scene, John the Baptist had to decrease. Remember his words? I must decrease, he must increase. He had to decrease. He had to go away. He had to fade out of the picture. He was imprisoned, ultimately beheaded, because once Jesus came on the scene, John the Baptist no longer was needed. His role was a temporary one. So let's see where we are. When they heard this, they responded to Paul. Paul responded, John baptized with a baptism of repentance, telling the people to believe in the one who was to come after him. That is in Jesus. Now, the Acts of the Apostles tells us when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, which is a sacramental or a Christian baptism. And when Paul laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them. See that? Now, that's an example of the laying on of hands that occurs with baptism and also occurs with confirmation. So it's tough to explain this, but there is a further or greater outpouring of the Holy Spirit that occurs during the sacrament of confirmation. And again, if you're not Catholic, this might be a little confusing, but we as Catholics believe that there is a two-part sacrament, baptism and confirmation. Sometimes for adults who are becoming Catholic, they are administered at the same time. So the baptism and confirmation, two parts of the same sacrament, both have to do with the Holy Spirit coming to dwell and become alive in the Christian soul. The Holy Spirit came upon them, Paul said, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. Now, they are two of the manifestations of the the extraordinary charismatic gifts, the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Not everybody gets those. Those gifts are given. We should probably do a show talking about that sometime. Those gifts are given to certain individuals. They don't earn them. They're not extra holy. The Spirit gives different gifts to each individual. And when I'm talking about these gifts, they are not your standard seven gifts of the Holy Spirit that we talk about. These are extraordinary, sometimes referred to charismatic gifts of prophecy and tongues, the purpose of which is to build up the church. That's why those gifts are administered to certain people. So Paul is calling attention to those gifts, which can still be seen in the church today. If you're familiar with the charismatic renewal, specifically the Catholic charismatic renewal, there are people who have the gifts of prophecy and tongues. Many people have those gifts. It sounds strange, right? But this is accepted and approved by the church. This is no funky theology. This is legit. All pointing to this power of the Holy Spirit. Doesn't mean if you don't get these extraordinary gifts, such as tongues and prophecy, discernment, that doesn't mean that the Holy Spirit is not working in your life. Again, gifts of healing. Some people have the gift of healing. I mean, I've seen it in action. It's incredible. I don't think that I have that gift. I always pray for people when they're sick. Some have recovered, some haven't. But some people seem to have this instantaneous gift of healing, but they don't always have that. So in other words, not every person they pray over is healed. This is the mystery of the Holy Spirit, who comes and goes as he pleases, as the wind blows, as referenced in John's gospel. But these gifts are given so that people will come to believe in Jesus Christ, and they're for building up the church. Let's see, although there were about 12 men, he entered the synagogue and for 3 months debated boldly with persuasive arguments about the kingdom of God. So, equipped with the power of the Holy Spirit, Paul is able to debate boldly. Remember, this is a persecutor of Christians at one time. When he was Saul of Tarsus, he was trying to stamp out Christianity. He was an enemy, or he considered Christians an enemy of the Jewish faith. And this is the guy that God chose for his instrument. Once Paul had that encounter with Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus, he went out and would boldly proclaim with the help of the Holy Spirit the gospel to the Gentiles. That's what Paul did. And that's what you can do with the help of the Holy Spirit. Now, before you get overwhelmed about this, and you'll hear more, we'll talk more about it during the week as we head into Pentecost Sunday, but we don't want to diminish the importance of the Holy Spirit. Don't try to be a Christian on your own. Don't try to just force yourself to follow Jesus. Don't try to just look up everything in the Bible, use the Bible as your sole means of guidance. Yeah, the Bible is the inspired word of God, no doubt. But as Catholics, we also believe that the church, the official teaching of the church and the written word of God, both of them make up the word of God. So there's a written tradition. The Word of God is in two forms, as Catholics we believe, written and the oral tradition, generally referred to as with a capital T, which is the teaching of the apostles down through the ages. So the official teaching of the church plus the written Word of God, the Bible, constitutes the Word of God. That's what we believe as Catholics. So the importance, I'm not going to diminish the importance of that. That's very important to understand what the church teaches and what the Bible says. You should be reading scripture every day. You've heard me say that before. But we need more than that. We need the power of the Holy Spirit. And when Jesus refers to the Holy Spirit in the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 1, when he tells his followers, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, referring to Pentecost. That power, that Greek word that Luke uses for power is dunamis, the English root of the word dynamite, or the root of the English word dynamite. That power is an explosive power. That's the power that enabled these apostles, these cowards, to be willing to give up their lives for Jesus. I mean, what a change. It came about through the power of the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit, this is no wimpy power. You are not going to be able to sufficiently follow Christ. You're not going to even be able to get to know him fully without the help of the Holy Spirit. You can't love God without the help of the Holy Spirit, because St. Paul tells us the love of God is poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. So we need the Holy Spirit to be able to love Jesus, to be able to love the Father, to be able to love one another, to be able to experience peace and joy and patience and kindness and goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control, these fruits of the Spirit. They're all coming about through the Holy Spirit. You can't force your way. You can't force yourself to be peaceful or joyful without the Holy Spirit. You cannot even say Jesus is Lord, the Bible tells us, without the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, of course, you can say the words, but what that means is you can't accept and believe that Jesus is your Lord and Savior until you let the Holy Spirit rule over your heart. Once you do that, then you suddenly have a desire to read the Bible. You have a desire to say, Jesus, you are my Lord. Lead the way. That comes about through the Holy Spirit. So how, in the few minutes remaining, how is it that we get the Holy Spirit to work in our lives? Pretty much, you just give him permission. And if you pray, come Holy Spirit, at the start of every day, and pray those words or some facsimile of those words throughout the day, the Holy Spirit's going to respond. If you have a tough meeting coming up, if you have a situation you just don't know what you're supposed to say, Holy Spirit, help me. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Come alive in me. I give you permission to inspire my thoughts, my words, my actions today. You know, you can tell the Holy Spirit that, and the Spirit will respond, because his job is to draw you closer to Jesus and to enable you, to transform you into the image of Christ, which is an unbelievable accomplishment, especially when you look at somebody like me. I mean, the Holy Spirit's got his work cut out for him when it comes to me, but he's going to be working on me throughout the rest of my life. So don't get impatient. That's one of the fruits of the Spirit, by the way, too, patience. Don't get impatient. Ask the Holy Spirit to come alive in you today. Come, Holy Spirit. Will you do that? All right, I'm looking at the clock. I really got to run. If you have any questions, email me at gary@followingthetruth.com. Remember to pray for the souls who gave their lives for this country on this Memorial Day. I look forward to catching up with you, God willing, tomorrow. Have a wonderful night. Go out and make it a good day. God bless you.